Is that 80s enough for you? Okay, where the hell's the button at? There we go. Hello, this is Debbie Sue, and you're listening to Smack. And my first episode is about Smack, but I'm on the right shoe. So everything's, as usual, completely chaotic. I just want to see how a couple episodes of Smack go, and I'm putting it on the right shoe. I know you're going to be able to hear that fan. It's going to drive me nuts. I wanted to talk about several things today. This is Smack. It's going to be stream of conscious, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to talk about not only heroin, my first episode of the heroin. It's going to be about 3 or 4 episodes long. But also I wanted to talk about a movie I saw. Now, it was based on a book. Very good movie, by the way. It was a little intense and trigger warnings times 1,000. A lot of rape. Dear Mr. Gacy, it was based on the novel by Jason Moss, which I just wanted to talk about because at some point I think there's going to be a lengthier episode involving me and other people. So I don't want to get into the whole story of Jason Moss. He was a guy who basically wanted to get into the mind of serial killers, and his book was called The Last Victim. Now, the reason he called it Last Victim is because he said that he was the last victim of John Wayne Gacy. What had happened was he did do a college paper about John Wayne Gacy, basically. He wanted to try to manipulate him into, I guess, I really think he was, honest to God, when I look at it, I haven't read the book. I saw the movie. They said, of course, the book goes more into depth about what happened because Jason ultimately killed himself in 2006. And he was corresponding with Richard Ramirez, and he was studying Satanism at the time before he talked to Richard Ramirez. I don't know if he had yet talked to him, but he was about to, or he just started and he killed himself then, and he did it on 666. The point of all this is I really don't know if he did go into this when his intentions were good, but as we all know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And it's like, I don't know what he was thinking, because it was such a dangerous game to be playing with his own mind. I mean, I don't know. Like, I've known some effed up people my entire life. I know better than to mess with a certain group of people, because you're going to, in one way or another, just get your ass kicked no matter what, because they have nothing to lose. And when someone has nothing to lose, they just fight dirty. They fight to win, and they don't care. And that's what I think happened here. He went to Gacy with the intentions of trying to get something, I guess, you know, some reason behind what he did, because what he did was pretty freaking horrific. There's a few scenes in that movie. Oh my God. Well, they are rough, but it really is disturbing on so many levels, because I think what happened is Gacy started to get into his mind, and he just couldn't snap out of it. And I guess then, and he was dealing with depression. I don't know. It's a great story. Again, I don't want to go into every part of it, because it's going to be discussed at some point. But I wanted to mention that movie. It's a great movie, but the acting was good. I mean, it was solid. The movie, I thought it was good. I mean, I haven't read the book, so I cannot compare, but I think it was a solid movie. It was dark, but I would not suggest it to anyone that's triggered by rape, because that is really, that movie was just, like, as far as trigger warnings, it was rough. It was rough watching it. I don't really get, I don't get upset by too much, but that was upsetting. I it's hard for me. Anything with children, I really, it's just, it's too much for my brain. And the kid part, the aspect of children, I just, my God, people are sick. So it was rough. And I had this book, The Last Victim. It's somewhere in my pile of books that are all over the house at this point. And I can't find it. It's driving me crazy. I'm probably going to wind up, I'll just get it on the Kindle. I do that all the time. And then I'll find the book. But it's easier to carry around the Kindle anyway. And, but I do like reading books. So it's, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway, so I did like that movie, but I did not realize that Jason Moss had killed himself. But when I saw him being interviewed, I do remember him. The book came out in 1999, and it was around that time. Oh, hold on, my dog. That was definitely my something that stuck in my head this week. I'm excited because I love this jewelry, Acid Queen jewelry, and oh my God, it's really, it's like my favorite right now. I ordered 3 rings, a pair of earrings, and a plaque where you can hang like necklaces. They're so cool. I very good quality. The craftsmanship is very good. I do recommend it. So today I wanted to talk about heroin. Oh, I did want to say that song, that was a song called Step On Up. That's what it's called. So I did not. Okay. Oh my God, my brain. Oh, what pissed me off today is I walked in Pennypack Park, which is a beautiful park in Northeast Philly, and it extends all over the place. And there's a big, huge pile of trash, right? And I mean, they must have dumped their weekly trash right there on the path. Who does that? I mean, what scumbag dumps their trash in Pennypack Park? It's a real dirtbaggy thing to do. I cannot stand that. You're destroying the little bit of nature that we have here. There's not much left. So I wanted to talk about heroin because I had my own issues with heroin years ago, and Philadelphia seems to be just inundated with a heroin problem. I mean, for a long time, it was the OxyContin problem when the OxyContins were crushable and snortable and injectable. Now they have like a time release, which you can. There's an outer shell. If you suck, oh, I shouldn't even say, okay, I don't want to tell people how to do drugs. So there's a time release to the new OxyContins that prevent you from being able to do it, like inject it the way the older ones were. But I'm not going to, you can get around everything. But okay, this is the problem with this whole subject here right now. Right as I start it. It is a very touchy subject. I mean, I can sit here and talk about it and just go on, and I will be saying a lot of things that are probably not going to be very good to say, or I really got to watch and make sure that everyone knows. Again, I am not a doctor. I'm not a counselor in any way, shape, or form. This is my sole opinion. Everything I say, except for what I've researched, which I am not going to do like a heavy research project about it. I'm just going to tell you like where heroin, like how it started, basically. The problem is heroin is a very, it's a touchy drug, and it's not something that I want anyone to ever try if they haven't already. Like, stay away from it. It's not like I know on TV they'll say, oh, if you do it one time, you're completely addicted, which is completely false. But it's so easy to get addicted to it especially if you have an addictive personality, because there's many reasons that I'll go into when I get to that part. But I really have to take it step by step and really be honest and true when I say that it is really not, it's not a good drug. Like, you know, you take something like weed, which is like such a happy, healthy kind. I mean, I don't consider weed a drug. I don't know. Is it? I don't even know. I don't think it is. I think weed is just like it's a great flower that we smoke, and it's used. I mean, I heard, you know, there's medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. And I was behind this one guy one time, and he was talking about how, you know, he has a medical marijuana card. And he said, like, it has really, he used to take like 4 different medications to stop this pain that he was having, or just a lot of issues. And he stopped taking almost all of his medication when he was able to legally buy weed. And now that's all he uses, which is fantastic. That's the thing. That's if you don't have weed, if you smoke it, and then don't have it, yeah, you'll feel like weird, or you'll be like, oh, I could really need to get high. But it's not physically addictive. You're not going to want to blow your head off if you don't get it. Like, you know, you're just going to be a little uncomfortable. Where with heroin, when you're really addicted to it, The feeling of sickness is just awful. I mean, it's really, really bad. It's nothing that you want to ever feel for any reason. So any good that you may feel from this drug, there's just too many reasons to stay away from it. But it's such a problem that I really wanted to talk about it, because I thought maybe if, you know, once in a while you get like one person that'll listen and be like, wow, you know, like maybe they're doing it and just something will click and they'll say, you know what, I really do want to get off of this. And that would be so awesome, because when I was really, really like hooked on it, and I couldn't get through the day without it. I mean, that sickness is terrible. I really wish someone would have just said, you know what, if you get off of it for long enough, you will get past all of this mental anguish. Like, the mental anguish withdrawal is such, it's just as bad as the physical. It really is. Ultimately, it's the first thing that really hits, because it gives you that euphoria. And when you don't have it, it's depressing. I didn't realize that life could be good without it. I get horrible aches and pains now that I can't get rid of, and I have to deal with them. It's not like everything's rosy and fabulous, but yet I much prefer my life this way than to the way it was. It's just, you know, it's a bad situation. I did want to go through the history of it a little bit. Yeah. Okay. Now, this was written, this was out of Yale Medicine. This is where I got this information from, and it was really very interesting. It was written in 1999, and it said that scientists at a German pharmaceutical firm a century ago, which in 1999, so 1899-ish, I guess morphine was out. Now, this is what it said, which is interesting. A chemical modification to morphine that made it more palatable as a cough suppressant. This is what a German pharmaceutical firm was investigating, and they did this modification to morphine and turned it into heroin. This was the Bayer Company. It was the predecessor to today's big pharma, you know, Bayer. Everyone knows Bayer aspirin. It was marketed as heroin, and it did work against coughs. And then it was, and that was when tuberculosis and pneumonia were very big. The problem was that pretty soon physicians and pharmacists began noticing the addiction factor. Patients needed larger doses, more and more of it, to get to that point that they were before, which means if you take, you know, I'm trying to use something that would make, like, if you take 25 cents worth today, then tomorrow you're going to need 50 cents worth, and so on. Like, it just keeps going up and up until the point where you are literally just using it to, you're literally just using it to not get sick. And that's what happens. Eventually, even the euphoria, it just, yeah, it just goes away. Like, you're just really maintaining. And it just becomes, you start to, you know, every day when you wake up, it's, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get my heroin? Where am I going to get the money from my heroin? And so on. It never ends. That is your job. That's your new job. By 1912, it had emerged as a recreational drug among young men in New York City. Addicts were knocking at the doors of New York and Philadelphia hospitals in search of treatment. The history of the drug's use and abuse was the topic of 100 Years of Heroin, a conference held at Yale in September of 1999. It brought together some of the nation's leading thinkers on the drug problem, such as people that were with the Nixon administration when they were trying to, you know, that's the start of the so-called war on drugs. It really seemed to spike. It just got worse and worse. Like, I remember one of my favorite artists, Billie Holiday, an old blues singer who her voice will cut through to your soul like nobody else. She was addicted to it, and you can hear the pain in her voice, just the way she sings. But back then, like, that's what it was. Like, heroin was more like this old kind of head drug that was used by jazz musicians. It wasn't like in the populace yet. But it would come. I mean, by the 70s, the 60s and 70s is when it really took off. Because I will get to eventually the part where in my teens, I knew, you know, of, they were like definitely 70s children. And it was really sad what happened. And it was sad how their life was run, because they were addicted before they even know what hit them, when they were way too young to know what hit them. I met them in their 30s, but it was really bad. And this is what a Dr. David Musto said. We seem to have a peak in heroin use every 20 to 25 years. Some have explained this as a generational forgetting. Whatever the explanation, heroin will remain a problem indefinitely for those who become addicted. Now, here he writes, it is in part because of methadone, more treatable than uncontrolled cocaine, which I guess is true. We do have, the thought process is combating opiates with opiates. I don't know if I should get into this part yet, because what I see people, even in Europe, they're doing now is they're taking a more pure form of heroin, like without all the additives. Because sometimes people that are mixing the heroin, they'll mix it with like a methamphetamine, which will also create this, you know, euphoria. And when you're combining it, the user unknowingly is getting all of these mixtures where, and I don't think they're doing this in the U.S., but in Europe, they're using this pure form of the drug, and they're combating it by giving you small doses at a time, because methadone created a whole other issue. Methadone is probably, I don't want to say more addictive than heroin, but with the withdrawal from heroin or methadone is worse than the withdrawal from heroin. I mean, it really is. I know people have done methadone for long periods of time. I've tried it. I mean, at the time, it really helped me when I was sick. But I don't know. It's a weird drug. And somebody I know who did it for a while, they were in jail and they were given methadone. And he said he really just didn't want to. He was so afraid of getting addicted to the methadone. He said, I could barely handle anything at that point. So he stopped doing it. Like, he could, I don't know how he did this, but he just cold turkey stopped in jail, stopped methadone. And he said, like, day 15, which with heroin, you would have totally be over the physical withdrawal symptoms by then. Well, not totally, but you would be over the worst of the withdrawal symptoms. Then the long-term ones would be kicking in. But he said it would be day 15, and he, like, fell off his chair, and he banged his head on the jail bar because he said, like, that you would shake. Like, he said the withdrawal from methadone was horrendous. He said it was way easier for him to withdraw off heroin than it was methadone. It sounds horrible. He said, like, he just never, the feeling of the withdrawal never left with the methadone. Where with heroin, he was able to do that, this cold turkey withdrawal that I never could. I'm amazed at how he was able to do this. Because he would get addicted and stop. And he would just stop. But he would go through the withdrawal, and he could do it. I don't know how. He just could. But he said the withdrawal from methadone was terrible. He said he didn't even want to do it because of the withdrawal. Where the heroin, he said, you know, he could, I don't know. But he never really did. He wasn't addicted to heroin like where he was doing it every single day. Like, he would get high here and there, which some people can do. I think Keith Richards does that. In his book, Life, he was very honest that he does, like, one bag of good heroin, and that is the way to go because you're not getting addicted. I don't know. Some people can do that. I never understood that. This is what it says. Heroin, the hydrochloride of diacetylmorphine, was discovered by the acetylation of morphine, which means it's like the opposite chemical reaction. That's what they've been using, the more pure form of heroin, to combat heroin addiction, like small doses each day. So it's same here. It says heroin in the studies, in pharmacological studies, proved to be more effective than morphine or codeine. I noticed that I have taken morphine, and morphine, it kills the pain, but it doesn't give you that euphoria. So that's the difference between morphine and heroin. Codeine just made me plain ass sick. I hate codeine. It makes me nauseous. Ugh. But it's so weird in your standard drug test, what I've learned is that heroin and codeine will come up the same in a urine test, because I was getting treated, and I did not know this. I did not at the time. I wasn't trying to sneak around. I had a cough. At this point, back in the 90s, they'd give you any kind of opiate. Now they're much more strict, which is a good thing. But back, maybe a little too strict, but it's still a better, it's better. They shouldn't hold it from like 70 and 80 year olds. Well, that's ridiculous, which I've heard them doing. That's out of control. But they were just handing out like water at one point. And they were giving me, for a cough, this doctor was giving me codeine, and I just kept taking it. And no one had known about my addiction. I really kept it very well hidden. I just kept taking this codeine, and I went to the drug place. I was getting treated for an addiction to opiates. And he's like, you keep coming up for morphine, and you know, which is heroin in the urine. And I'm like, I was going crazy trying to figure it out. And then finally we figured out it was the cough medicine I was taking. So it's weird that it's like that. It's weird how things come up in your urine, drug-wise. So the Bayer Company started the production of heroin in 1898 on a commercial scale. The first clinical results were promising. Heroin was a wonder drug. Heroin was more effective than codeine. But heroin was addictive, and the effect was enhanced by intravenous administration. and the drug abuse became crazy. They also, heroin is prepared and diluted by every member of the illegal heroin distribution chain. Smugglers, traffickers, dealers, and vendors all cut the heroin right down the line. So by the time you get it, it's a mess. You know, I mean, and now what's going on is they're cutting it with this fentanyl. They used to cut it with like all kinds of crap, strychnine, but this fentanyl is killing people. I mean, it's terrible and it's scary. I don't know if I told this story, but it's so scary to me. They're starting to cut pills now. Like back in the day, a pill was a pill. When you got a pill, you could be assured that it was from a pharmaceutical FDA approved company. Now there are people are pressing them in their basement, and it's very hard to tell the real ones from the fake ones. Well, there's a lot of 30 milligrams, which they're crushable still. The oxycodone, which is Percocet, that's going around down in Kensington here in Philadelphia. And the one girl, her and her friend, bought a 30 milligram oxycodone pill. They cut it in half and they were both going to snort it. But here in the press that someone had used, they must have pressed it with fentanyl. And the fentanyl was obviously more on the one side than the other, because the one girl, the girl, they both snorted the line. The one girl dies and the other girl was like horrified. It was her best friend. And she said, like, we bought this together, we snorted it, and she's dead. I mean, it was just the luck of the draw who got that fentanyl. And fentanyl, you know, affects everyone differently. Like, some people will die from it, some won't. Some can handle it. It's weird, but it has one dangerous chance to take. So that's how it basically got started back then. It was started to try to relieve pain, and it really didn't help. It didn't do anything. Heroin is an opioid drug made from morphine. It's a natural substance that can be extracted from opium poppy plants. There's Attila Chahara from Mayhem, the band in Norway. The singer, he said that he was making a drink which was made from the poppy plant. Like, it had like a little bit of extract from the poppy plant. He said it was like a nice, relaxing drink. But someone told me that they would never let it through to the U.S. because poppies are totally illegal over here. I guess it was decriminalized, but in certain states, I don't think they would sell this alcohol. And it's made from the poppy plant. They said they would probably wash the poppies so that it was clean and you wouldn't be able to get the same effect. But I thought that drink sounded, I mean, that drink, not the heroin. Okay. It comes in powder. Heroin comes in white or dark brown. And street names are Smack, Horse, Brown Sugar, Junk, Mud, Big H, Black Tar, White Boy. It's injected, inhaled, or snorted. Euphoria sets in within 7 seconds when the drug is injected into a vein. If injected into a muscle, it takes 2 to 5 minutes. If the drug is sniffed or smoked, the effect can take 10 to 15 minutes. I don't know. I snorted heroin and it didn't take no 10, 15 minutes. The high lasts from 10 to 30 minutes. Euphoria is followed by lethargy, sleepiness, and apathy. Also, I heard a skin popping where you just kind of inject it into the skin, but that leads to really nasty diseases of the skin. It literally will eat your skin away. I will look up the name to that. I know there's fasciitis. It's necrotizing fasciitis, something like that. It will literally eat your skin away. And it eats your veins away if you inject it. And it eats your nasal passages away and everything else. Withdrawal can cause restlessness, yawning, muscle and bone pain, cold flashes with goosebumps, diarrhea, vomiting, and insomnia. Major withdrawal symptoms peak between 24 and 48 hours after the last dose and can take a week to decline. Heroin withdrawal is never fatal. It may feel fatal. You might want to kill yourself from the freaking, just the sheer agony of it, but it is not fatal. You know what a fatal withdrawal is? Like Xanax, benzodiazepines, like Valium or Xanax. That is a fatal withdrawal. That can be, because it causes like seizures, tremors. But it's amazing that heroin, it is not a fatal withdrawal. It just feels like it is. And people like Lane Staley from Alice in Chains, who was one of the most well-known heroin addicts and the most tragic, because my God, that boy could sing, but he just could not get away from that heroin. And I read his book. It was, he was really hardcore addicted. Nothing worked for him. He tried methadone. He tried so many things. He just couldn't get away from it. Detected in the body 1 to 3 days. Yes, heroin goes very quickly. Immediate effects. A rush accompanied by a warm flushing of the skin, dry mouth, and a heavy feeling in the extremities. Slowed breathing, slowed heart function, reduction in pain, clouded mental functioning. And this is why some people withdraw. What happens is there could be two different things. When you do heroin a lot, the buildup in your system, it's you know, your liver can only process so much. Your body can only process so much. So after you've been doing it for a while, your body might only be able to process so much. So you could do that one little extra bump, line, shooting up, whatever you do, and it'll send you right over the edge and kill you. And that could lead to an overdose. Another way that heroin addicts, and I'm not talking about when it's cut with the wrong thing, I'm talking about just regular, like if you never got bad heroin, and it you know, the way it could kill you is from that way, from the buildup in your system. Or if you try to withdraw for a while and then you do the same dose, or just because you're doing it after being clean for a long time, it just hits you the wrong way and it could kill you. I one of the people I knew back in the 80s, he tried to get clean, and that's what happened. He did it with a friend, and his friend said, we both did what we normally do. And the guy came up out of his, when he nodded out, he woke up and he said, and he was dead. So that's the two ways, like your body builds up, and then it's too much for the body. It can't expel it and you'll OD, or you OD from not doing it and then doing it. You know, if that makes sense, like you're getting clean and then you're craving it and you can't take the withdrawal and you do it, that could kill you. Just if you do the same amount or too much, or if your body just can't handle it, you know, it's bad. There's no easy way. It really is a very scary drug. Long-term effects are contaminated injection equipment can transmit diseases. Also, hepatitis is a huge thing with addicts. Collapsed veins, infection of the heart lining and valves, and tuberculosis, which I haven't heard of, but that's what it says here. So, and this is true, most heroin users start with other drugs. Vicodin, Percocet, at the time OxyContin. It's still out, but it's time release now, so it's a bit different. OxyContin in the 90s was, you could crush it and snort it, shoot it up. It was not time released, and it was different. It was such a close thing to heroin that people were doing, you know, just doing it. Also, there was drugs in the 80s. They don't make Doridin anymore. It was called Doridin, and a codeine. You would do 3 codeines and a Doridin, and they don't make this anymore. That's the only reason I'm saying it. I would not say it was still out today, because then you could do it. But it would give you a heroin high by combining these 4 pills. I mean, and I'm talking massive heroin high. It was just insane. They sold them down in North Philly or South Philly. And they were expensive, but people did it so they wouldn't have to do the heroin. They would do the pills, but it was just, you needed, God, people were doing 16 pills at a time. You know, some people start because they start with pot or alcohol, and then they're seeking a stronger high. It is insidious. It really does, you know, and some people start because they get hurt, and then they'll get, you know, they'll go to the hospital, and they'll, you know, this happened quite frequently. They're a little more educated about it now, but a couple of people I know had no idea that they were, like, that there was an addiction factor to painkillers. They got hurt in a car accident or something, and they were given Percocet or something, and they were on disability for a while, and then they noticed they could not stop the painkillers. That was another. What happens, you know, what does heroin feel like? It's, heroin is the common name for the psychoactive drug diacetylmorphine. It can be smoked, sniffed, inserted rectally, or injected. Wow. Heroin is processed from morphine, which comes from the poppy. Poppy is 5,000 years old, or it's been used for more than has been cultivated for more than 5,000 years and used for a variety of pain. And that's what it had started from, to combat pain. What is the difference between heroin, fentanyl, morphine, and oxycodone? Morphine is a naturally occurring substance from the opium poppy plant that is used to alleviate pain, which means the U.S. classifies it as a Schedule II drug, which means the federal government has determined that it has potential for misuse and dependence, but also has accepted medical use and can be prescribed to patients. Heroin is processed from morphine. It is classified as a Schedule I substance, which means that the federal government has determined there's absolutely no accepted medical use. Heroin diacetylmorphine is available medically in some circumstances in Europe and Canada because they're combating the purer form with the more so-called dirty heroin for withdrawal purposes. Oxycodone and hydrocodone are semi-synthetic opioids derived from the opium poppy plant and are chemically similar to morphine and are used to treat acute and chronic pain. Many people get addicted this way. It is a Schedule II substance, which means that the federal government has determined it acceptable for medical use. Fentanyl is one of the most powerful opiate-based painkillers used to treat chronic pain from patients who have developed a resistance to morphine or oxycodone. Its effects are active at much lower doses, so its non-medical use is riskier due to its increased potency. It's a Schedule II substance. And in recent years, the heroin supply is definitely being cut with it. But I've done fentanyl. I don't think there's anything good. And then we have methadone and buprenorphine, which is methadone and Suboxone, which is the trade name for buprenorphine. There are opioids that have been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration as medications to treat opioid dependence. They act on the same receptors in the brain And they will really, they're more apt to give you Suboxone now than methadone, because methadone, although Suboxone has a huge withdrawal factor to it too, the withdrawal from methadone is known to be far worse. It's, you know. Now, that was like just a little introduction to the heroin, and I want to next talk about how I want to talk about how people can become addicted. I don't want to say this in a good way, like what it feels like, just to get across how people get addicted to it. I do want to go over what it feels like. Why do people get addicted to heroin and why some don't? And that is really a lot in your genetics. If you're predisposed, alcohol and opiates hit the same brain triggers. So if your father or grandfather was an alcoholic, you're going to be more predisposed to alcoholism or opiate addiction because it hits that same center in the brain. It's, you know, addiction is really, it's one of, you know, that's why there's so many rehabs and all trying to figure out ways to combat this, because it is a sickness. And then some people, it's so misunderstood. I see some people just, oh, it's used because it's given to people that aren't as smart. And it's such bull crap. I know people that are very intelligent that have been addicted. It's not idiots that are getting addicted. Anybody can get addicted. And usually artists, I think, tend to get more addicted because artists are full of like passion and creativity, and they want to feel everything, and they do feel everything like so intensely. And I think that's where a lot of addiction comes, because they want that, you know, a lot of artists tend to become addicted. And I think it has to do with that like passion trigger in the brain. It's the creative response, you know, like some people would say, oh, I would get high and just write or paint, you know, it seems to have that effect. So, today, what have we learned? That heroin is bad, 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 that it came from German Bayer Corporation in 1898, that it's not a toy. And it's just, it's a bad drug. And also, if you wanted to learn more about Jason Moss, read that book, The Last Victim, or see the movie, Dear Mr. Gacy. But hold on to your hats, because, I don't know, that was quite a shock to my system. I wasn't expecting the intensity. I don't know who the actor was. They said he was from Final Destination, the guy who played Jason Moss. He did a good job. I'm telling you, I thought the acting was good. The guy who played Gacy was good, but intense. And, you know, Acid Queen Jewelry is my new little addiction. And next will be about the effects of heroin and why it is so easy to get addicted to it. That is next. This is Debbie Sue saying, have a great night.